Holy Spirit wants to point out to you during this teaching tonight. So if this question were to be asked to you specifically, how would you answer it? What's going on with your honor walk? Now just think about it for a moment. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse number 30, the Bible instructs us, "Therefore the Lord God of Israel says, I promise you your branch or tribe of the Levi should always be my priest, but I will honor those who honor me, and I will despise those who think lightly of me." Now, God is laying down an honor principle, and he's saying to us, the things I want you to honor reflect honor toward me. When you dishonor the things I direct you to honor, you esteem me lightly or despise me or dishonor me. And he said, you're going to get failure for lack of honor and dishonor. And you're going to get fruit and reward when you do honor what he tells you to honor. Amen. Isn't that good? So as we talk about the honor principle, I'm going to go into Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. Thank you. You can go to the next slide. Not too far. back. Right there. Yes. No problem. Much grace. All right. "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine." So he's about to give us some good stuff. Now listen up. Verse 2. "For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and only beloved, the only one in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words.'" So you think about a father to a child is saying this, but this is what he's saying to us in context, like the Father God talking to us. "Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding." So he says, get that, right? "Do not forget, nor turn away from the words of my mouth." That's important. Now notice how I'm saying, emphasizing. "Do not forsake her, for she will preserve you. Love her, and she shall keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her, and she will promote you to She will bring you to honor." Everybody say honor. When you embrace her, you will. She will place on you on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver to you. "Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered." Skip down to verse 14. "Do not enter the path of the wicked, nor walk in the ways of evil." So he uses two negative directions, saying do not walk in the ways, path of the wicked, nor in the way of evil. So he said, don't do that. Verse 15. "Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on." Now we got to stop and think about that for a moment. Then skip down to verse 18. "The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble." Why am I always tripping up, messing up, slipping up, fouling up? Y'all get the picture, right? All right. Now skip down to verse 26. "Ponder the path of your feet and let your ways, all your ways be established." How many ways? All your ways. So wisdom and honor are connected. These are two parts of the gospel. that there are two parts of the gospel, excuse me, with brace. And so we talked about this last week. We said the person of Jesus and the principles of Jesus. The persons of Jesus prepares you for eternity. You receive Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior. The principle of Jesus prepare you for earth. So that's why we come to church. That's why we hear instruction through the Word of God, because we got to live here in the nasty now and now. We got to live for earth, but we have to live principled lives. Principles is what helps us create our prosperity, our success. The person of Jesus creates your peace. The principles of Jesus create your prosperity. There's no relationship between you loving God and your financial success. For example, you know, atheists and people who are heathens can hate and rebel against God, but they still have a lot of money. We know that, right? They can sing demonic or devilish music and basically give their soul to Satan, but they're still got a lot of money. So don't link that. So prosperity, which is basically having more than enough to do your assignment and plenty left over to give to those in need, is linked to laws. Psalms 112, 1 through 3 says it this way: praise the Lord, how joyful are those who fear the Lord, who delight in obeying his commandments. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy, and their good deeds will last forever. So we said this statement, and I want you to think about it. Pause and think about it for a moment. 90% of success is decided by knowing who and what to honor. 90% of success is decided by knowing who and what to honor. Now, who and what are we supposed to honor? We see that on the right side. These are seven areas to walk in honor. We'll go over those in just a minute. But there's one difference between your present and your future. That is who you decide you will start honoring. So your honor walk, just like your love walk, your honor walk and your love walk always should be increasing and improving. Your love walk and your honor walk always should be improving. So the Holy Spirit will coach you and teach you, you know, more about love, the love of God, because he's the one who put the equipment in your heart. Romans 5 says the love of God is shed abroad in the heart. But the honor is a command that the Lord has directed us to live principally in relationship to him and other people. We don't live in a vacuum. Both love and honor are offensive type of directions. That means it's not just sedentary or stagnant. Love gives, honor gives what's due. Right? Okay. So there must be a place of reverence and honor. Honor and respect for the Word, the Spirit of God, the things of God, and the church restored in our hearts and lives. So that's an invitation for us to invite the Holy Spirit to restore honor and respect in our hearts. We know that in the context of your spouse, that must be an ongoing thing. When reverence and honor are restored, there will be a restoration and a multiplication of miraculous power, the miraculous power of God. This is a statement from Kenneth E. Hagin. He heard that from the Lord. When reverence and honor are restored, there will be a restoration and a multiplication of the miraculous power of God. So how many of us don't need any miracles? That's nobody. We all need miracles all the time. So if you want a multiplication and a restoration of miracles, the miraculous power of God in your life, then reverence and honor must be restored into your heart and through your life, your lifestyle. Okay? As Brother Hagin, Dad Hagin, Kennedy Hagin sought God as to why his plan for the church seemed to have stalled, why his mighty outpouring was delayed, God pointed him to a deficiency in the area of honor. And here's the sobering truth. We said it before. The great things we desire to see are not held back due to lack of power. Power is everywhere. Because God is omnipresent. That means everywhere you go, there's the power of God, the potential for the power of God to manifest there. But he's not everywhere manifesting his power. I mean, you see explosions and things happening all over the place, right? No, no. Power is not always received. It's not always manifested everywhere. Somebody say praise God. So they're held back due to a lack of honor. Now that's tied to the other statement we made about the miraculous, right? So when you honor and reverence are restored in you, then out around you and involved in your life, and particularly us as a church, the multiplication and restoration of the miraculous power of God comes to us. We'll start seeing more miracles, more signs, more wonders, more gifts and things happening in our church. Isn't that good? So honor is basically what you give what is due. It's not about how I treat you, not how they treat you. Honor is about how I treat you, not how they treat you. What are you accountable, and what honor do you have that's due to give? You can't look out here and say, well, they don't respect me, or they don't honor me. And sometimes in situations, particularly in families, you can have thoughts like that. You can have even uttered words like that. Why don't they respect my rules, my wishes? And you're always looking at honor this way, them not treating me right. But it has to be, who have you dishonored or missed the opportunity to give and show honor? Praise the Lord. So it's about you, my character, then your character. So, you know, for example, if you're a parent and you got an adult child and they're cutting up and talking to you crazy. Y'all know that happens sometimes. And you say, you know, why are you talking to me that way or that, like that? Why are you treating me that way? Well, you can't look at them as they don't love me. They don't honor me. They don't respect me. You always have to look at your character. Where did I miss the opportunity to show honor? Is everybody here tonight? I know we might not be online, but we're recording it, audio, but we'll put it on our app. But praise the Lord. Somebody say, glory to God. So, honor is about more about my commitment to love, honor, and esteem than your commitment to love, honor, and esteem. So it's how you see the other person. If you see the other person as trash, unworthy of even to call me on my phone, to text me, or, you know, whatever the case may be. Because disrespect or dishonor can be showed in many different ways, right? And so it's how I see you and how I treat you. Amen. How I see you, and more than how you see me and how you treat me. Because we all have flesh we have to deal with, right? Every day. and you can't get yourself all in a huff because somebody said something that you took and it made you painful. Or why did you say that to me? Why did you do that to me? I'm trying to help y'all tonight. Your honor walk is huge. Because God says in these seven areas, these are basic general areas that the Word of God tells us. And when God's Word says it, that means how you treat these seven areas is how you treat God. So he said, if you honor me, and honor is not a thought or just a amoeba or some mental perception about. No, honor is action. How I treat, how I see the Word of God. How I treat, how I see the Holy Spirit. How I treat, how do I see my fathers and mothers. How I treat, see spouses, ministry gifts, civil authorities, employers. Praise the Lord. I can't get in the club where everybody's talking about the boss and raking him over the coals or her over the coals because they're not perfect or they're not pleasant at the moment. They're in a bad mood. Amen. Dishonor is the seed for loss and limitation. Now, why does the Lord have us talking about this? He wants us to mitigate our losses. And he wants us to move out any lack and limitation. But there's an honor code, there's a key called H-O-N-O-R. You can trace back, we said it, to where you dishonored someone and some spiritual law when you experience some losses, lack or limitation in your life. It could be the Word of God when you got a revelation about, let's just say, your finances. Let's just say your healing. Those are two big areas that all of us are familiar with, right? So you receive revelation, right? I'm supposed to command call in the finances. Believe God for increase. Well, we've been instructed all these years through offering teachings or offering or money messages about prosperity that God's will is prosperity. God's will is increase, right? But we dishonor the word when we don't act on it or do it. We ignore it. We neglect it. But we say we're broke all the time. We say that we don't have. When God put the power of increase in our heart and in our mouth. Because everything gets done by speaking, right? So we won't diligently do what? Weekly. I'm talking about regimentally, intentionally, weekly, saying, I claim. And if you're just thinking about, well, this is all I get per month, then you're still not honoring the word because you're not claiming anything. You're not using your faith. You're just using the facts that I get this amount per month. You're letting your income stay fixed. Oh, man. And so you never put your heart and your mouth into speaking the word of God. I claim this amount of extra. Start with $100. $100 extra this month. If you're a tither and a giver, why not? Because you're now free of this world system's limitations and lack. If you're a tither and a giver, the heavens are open over you. And you get what you believe for. But your believer is your faith in action. You're believing in your heart. Lord, I'm going to trust you. Holy Spirit, is this good? $100 extra a month this month. If you need somebody to agree with you to help you in that along those lines, you get together with somebody else. Okay, we're going to agree for $100 extra. Satan, I bind you over my finances. That's your authority as a believer. I bind you over my finances. Take your hands off my money. ministering spirits go and cause the money to come. And then the rest of the week, you're diligently saying, thank you, Lord, for meeting all my needs. Thank you that the money will come, that the money is coming. Thank you that the blessing is, Lord, making me rich. You're not trying to see it and feel it because that's flesh, but your faith in it. And you practice on $10, $100, and then soon $1,000. No matter what your so-called restrictions on income is, you can believe God for $1,000. That's honoring the word to carry out God's will of what? Prosperity. Y'all getting something out of this? Say, but let's look at the area of healing. You honor the word. You hear Matthew 8:17, himself took my infirmities, bear my sicknesses. Wow. That's a big one, right? 1 Peter 2:24, right? By his stripes we were healed. You know, Psalms 103, Psalms 107. So you hear the word. Well, sickness attacks you. The word should be what? First place and final authority. Now, your faith may not be on that level, and don't be feel ashamed because God's never beaten you up. But he'll meet you at the level of your faith, and he'll get somebody to agree with you on that level. But you're always saying, okay, we're going to get better. Can we believe for the pain not to get worse? I've been in situations like that, with people. And we've heard of situations where, you know, people are like, oh, God, it's so painful. Can we believe that it won't get any worse tomorrow? And then, okay, we can believe. But then you're releasing faith in healing and restoration of health along that process. Next day, you do what? I'm believing I'm going to get better. Can we believe that we're going to get better? And the pain's going to become less? Yes, we believe for that. We walk ourselves through and work through the word. Amen? Somebody say, glory to God. We work through the word. We don't just put up with everything in the flesh and say, well, it's over now. I'm just going to ride it through, follow everything the doctor says. But Dr. Jesus is never honored. He's Jehovah Jireh, right? Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right. Yana got me off my course here. All right. But you see how sometimes we can either knowingly or unknowingly not honor the word. And don't think, well, I forgot, Pastor. I forgot what you taught. Get out of here with that excuse. Because who you got inside of you? And he said he'll bring all things to what? Everything that the Lord has taught you. Now, I'm not the Lord Jesus Christ, but I'm certainly work for him. I'm his under shepherd, right? So he's the chief shepherd. That's what the Bible says. So I'm his under shepherd. So if he's giving me the message, it's coming from him through my voice, through this vessel. So that means if I heard it, the Holy Spirit can recall it and bring it back to my remembrance. But you have to honor the Holy Spirit. And not just say something flippant and disrespectful. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to do. Well, bring scriptures. What, you don't even have scriptures. And you want to pray. I've been taught this. Come on now. Because we think we're God or we're in control by ourselves, and we can become disrespectful and dishonorable to the Holy Spirit, who knows everything. In 20 years, he's got the best recall of all the sermons and all the teachings that were good in this church. And he can bring it back to you. Come on, let's thank the Lord for that. So we can't make the excuse. I don't remember. I have a bad memory. I'm losing my memory. What are you telling? The Holy Spirit can't take care of you. That's disrespectful. That's disrespectful to the word. The God can't, it's not good enough Father to take care of you. He said he's your physician. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right, let's go to the next slide. So this one shows us how we express in the wide spectrum of honor. You got how you treat people, how you see people, how you respect people. We said honor and respect are magnetic and attractive. Dishonor and disrespect are unattractive and repulsive. Deference, that means you're treating people with courtesy. Yielding and submission and judgment to another, one of an opinion of another to regard and respect. Now, along these lines, what we're saying to you and telling you is that, you know, sometime down the road during this 3 months of on this, we're going to be talking about submission and authority. And sometimes that's needed in relationships because you got to know how to defer, treat people with deference. You got to know how to do it. Amen. Somebody say amen. I said it last time, you know, when Pastor Mark or Pastor Hagin wanted to speak, I'm listening. It's not my time to talk, debate, or argue with them. Praise God, because they're high rank. They're over me in the Lord. So I defer to them. I don't have to agree to them to treat them right and defer to them. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Valuable, that means they have a certain weight in your heart. You treat as valuable and precious. And esteem is the highest manner of great dignity. In other words, the Bible says in 1 Timothy 5, I think we'll get to it tonight, maybe, hopefully. And it says, esteem them highly, those over you. Now, you don't exalt a man or woman. You exalt Jesus. But you do esteem ministers, pastors, spiritual leaders. And some of, in our honor walk, we should be doing some esteeming. And you see the example that we're going to give here in a second of dishonor when people de-esteemed Jesus. They didn't call him the Messiah. They didn't even call him Master. They called him Carpenter's Son. Natural, carnal, Carpenter's Son. And what happened? His own hometown, he couldn't do any mighty works. They were telling him, you didn't go to school, and we saw you. We know your brothers and sisters. They devalued and de-esteemed Jesus. They did not esteem him and exalt him. They didn't receive him in the position he was in. Amen. So take a look at that again. That's the spectrum or the expressions of your honor wall. Are you doing this? Praise the Lord. Honor is a choice to place value and esteem on the people who are due honor. Amen. It's literally kabod. The word means picture of heaviness or weightiness. To honor is to give great weight and importance and worth and significance on something or someone. On the contrary, dishonor, it gives the picture of something light and trivial, or the mist or steam. You want to look for honor, listen for the sounds of honor. Praise the Lord. Choose to value every human in your life. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 2:17, honor all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Honor's big. Honor's a big deal. All right, let's go to the next slide. So this is what we say when Jesus couldn't be Jesus. No person was ever honored for what he received. Honor has been been the reward for what he gave. Honor is always connected to life. Defilement and dishonor come from within, and it starts within a person. We referenced there Mark 7, 1 through 23. We're not reading that whole section. Honor and true holiness starts in the heart, and it always connected to life. Defilement, dishonor, and disrespect are connected to death. Now, we know what we studied last month. The carnal mind, the natural mind, cannot receive from God. The carnal mind is at odds or enmity against God. The carnal mind brings death. Spiritual mind gives life and peace. So when I think of you, when I see you, it processes through my brain and says, I don't want to talk to them. I want to avoid them. If I'm walking in defilement and dishonor. Because my thinking is not right. My heart's not right. When I come to church, I don't see people as valuable. You see people as a bother. Praise the Lord. So how we treat, respect, and regard, receive, or reject ministry, spiritual leadership is a determination of what we really functioning and flowing from our hearts. Now let's look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Jesus was rejected at Nazareth. It says he went out from there and came to his own home country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished. So they're like, how is he saying all that stuff? What gives him the right to say that? And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get this wisdom? Man, get these things. And what wisdom is this which was given to him that such mighty works are performed through by his hands? They questioned his wisdom. And then it says, is this not the carpenter's son of Mary, brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were offended at him. How'd they go from questioning him to being offended by him? At him. Dishonor. Now let's look. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except his own country and among his own relatives and his own house. Now he could do no mighty works there except that he laid hands on a few sick people with minor ailments, and he healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. So we see a lot of things here. We'll unpack a little bit of it. But we see indicated their lack of respect and reception of Jesus, Christ the Lord, by their first question. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? That's in Matthew's account, verse 54. They were commenting on his wisdom. That's why we even tell our people who follow up or deal with connection and care, you don't ask their opinion about the message. Did you enjoy the service? Did you enjoy that teaching? And people that don't walk in full honor could throw out some disrespect or dishonor. I just don't like it when preachers talk about money. Uh-oh. You're in a conversation now, right? And there's just dishonoring discussions getting ready to start. And somebody would think, well, can I ask them about the message? If you don't know them, if you don't know their heart, don't put yourself in that trap. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Like I told you last time, last week actually, you know, when they tried to ask me about some things that's on Facebook and some things that were mentioned, you know, about tithing and giving. Everybody who's not in church and who's a rank sinner knows to bring those questions up. Because they don't honor the Lord with their tithing. Why am I going to talk to you about tithing when you're not a tither? One guy even admitted, said, I'm behind on my tithes. How long? I said. And he said, 7 months. 7 years, I'm sorry. Ever since he'd been here in San Antonio. Grew up in church. Grew up giving. Grew up in a full gospel church. But he and his wife decided, you know, we're not going to go to church. We're just not going to honor God. Somebody say, praise the Lord. But so you can get involved in the discussion. And, sometimes we talk to our own family members, our own kids, our own siblings, and they're not even committed to a church and not even tithing. They're giving you all their opinions. You're getting into what? Dishonoring dialogue. What did Jesus tell us all? Don't cast your pearls before what? What is pearls? Somebody tell me. Something precious. What would pearls be like as far as church? Not that answer. What would pearls be like in church? The word, wisdom that you received in church, revelations that you received in church, truths that you received. Because you got the one big truth that we carry, we all should carry, but not every church carries it, who you are in Christ. Faith, the authority of the believer. Are you kidding me? That's rare. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so, why would you cast that for somebody who's a skeptic or a critic or even cynical about church, or they call it organized religion? Somebody say, praise the Lord. A lack of honor and resulting disrespect, disregard, and unbelief render Jesus' ministry ineffective. And it's the same thing today. A lack of honor, disrespect, disregard renders the ministry of this church ineffective. What happens? We don't honor the word. We don't honor the Holy Spirit, and we don't honor the voice and the vessel of ministry speaking to us. Amen? How do you do that? Well, you know, like, you know, some the old ministers used to be pretty tough. You know, I guess I'd be considered a softie back compared to them, but they used to catch people sleeping. That was because one of the five eyes of disrespect is ignoring. The first one is ignoring. Some people ignore the messenger. They're on their phone. They're doing things. They're distracted by things. And so they don't mind being ignoring. And some people, the second eye is interrupt. They want to interrupt. They're having conversation when worship is going on. They're having conversations when the word is going forth. Now I know he's in heaven today. Frederick Casey Price used to be pretty tough. He said he'd tell his kids, use the bathroom, get yourself together. When we come to church, we're sitting down. I don't want you to move. And he would be on the front and wouldn't move. Service would be 2.5, 3 hours. He didn't have to go to the bathroom. Because he disciplined his body. I'm not going to dishonor by getting up walking during prayer or preaching. Amen. Right? A lack of honor resulting in disrespect, disbelief. Now, Jesus is teaching in the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and they're questioning him from the audience. They interrupted Jesus. Just like the woman caught in adultery. Total, I call it total or ultimate dishonor. You got the Messiah talking, that's the one who's going to take away the sins of the world, and you have the audacity and the unmitigated gall to interrupt while they're preaching? Thank you, Tracy. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise the Lord. But you got to think about what you're doing. When you ignore, I told y'all the story when I ignored our pastor out in Maryland, and I wasn't taking notes. You know, mine was not necessarily fully paying attention. And the Holy Spirit just talked real rough. What are you doing? You're ignoring the word that you're going to be responsible for anyway. And that's one of the eyes, the first eye of disrespect. There's five of them. I mean, we taught it before a couple of years ago. When you ignore, and then what happens? You go home, can't tell what happened. What was the message? Don't know. 3 days later, I can't remember. And we ignore the admonition. Go back and listen to the message. And I know we had some technical difficulty, so hopefully it'll record audibly. But you can always go back and listen to the message. We got over 300 or almost 400 messages online. And when the Holy Spirit was really dealing with you during that sermon, what should you do? Go back and listen to it until it comes, gets in you, so it can be worked and walked out of you. It's just not for information. The word comes for transformation. That means you change. And manifestation. That means you live it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then, you know, you get beyond the whole day, you know, the old religious thinking, well, they're speaking monotone or they're not exciting. Because some people like just passion, fiery evangelists, and they get excited when everybody's, woo! But that's trying to enjoy and engage in a ministry through your emotions and through your flesh only. That's your style preferences. And you can dishonor somebody who's teaching the word of God and not up in your honor game, up in your honor walk by saying, I'm going to honor the man of God, the vessel of God in front of me. And then I stir myself up to do it. That's what I had to do with my pastor in Maryland. I had to stir myself up to get back engaged, take notes. Because at one point I had years worth of notes. And books, notes I can go back and refer to. The Holy Spirit can help me. He was training me to be a pastor. And how can I ever be promoted to pastor when I'm not faithful as a member? Somebody say, praise the Lord. Remember the honor rule, right? Those that honor me, I'll honor them. Those that despise me, that's not a pretty word. When he says you despise me, will be lightly esteemed. Someone say praise the Lord. No honor, no revelation. I ain't got nothing out of church in two or three weeks. No honor, no revelation. No honor, no restoration. No honor, no miracles. They lowered and discounted Jesus purely on to a human level. They marginalized and minimized him. Isn't it the carpenter's son? We knew him when he used to help his stepfather, Joseph. Amen. Praise God. Somebody say, praise God. Praise God. All right, next slide. Now, this is about honoring spiritual leaders. Everybody good? Yes. We had to cover these things, and you should insist and teach them at your house. You should insist on honor and teach honor through your own lifestyle example, but then precept. Every once you go out, you got your grandkids, because most of us are dealing with our grandkids and great-grandkids. You teach honor. You teach respect. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Scriptures teach us the importance of honoring those over us in the Lord. 1 Timothy 5:17-18, Amplified Classic. Look, let the elders who perform their duties of their office well be considered double worthy of what? Honor. Now, it tells double honor. Honor the king, honor the Lord, honor your mother and father, father and mother, honor your spouse. But here, your spiritual leader, he said double it. Double it, worthy of honor, of adequate financial support, especially those who labor faithfully in preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle an ox when it's treading out the grain, and again, the laborer's worth is higher. How do you muzzle a minister? By robbing God's ministers. Robbing means to withhold or refuse to give honor that is due, being dishonorable or disrespectful. I've seen it all these years. You know, even that church in Maryland we were at, we would see people who would sing and go out in the foyer and just carry on conversations coming out of the choir. They wouldn't come in to hear the message or come in to hear the pastor. But they had the title, deacon, minister, elder. We've seen it when we went over people's houses after church. And they talked about the flaws and the idiosyncrasies or the failings of their pastor, of our pastor. Can't go over the house anymore. Not good. And sometimes we'll sit in crowds or a group of people, and they'll be talking about all that stuff, right? And they hadn't been to church in years. And they'll even try to talk you out of going to church. Mm-hmm. Ultimate dishonor. Right? 1 Thessalonians 5:11-12. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor. See what they didn't do to Jesus. They didn't recognize him. They didn't receive him. Now, as you stay in church long, you have to stir yourself up to these things, because sometimes you just recognize, oh, that's just pastor. When you get an email from me, from us, oh, that's just pastor. Don't even read it. When you get a text message, oh, that's just pastor. Recognize and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love. For the work's sake, be at peace among yourselves. Esteem means to set a value on. To prize, to set a high value on, to regard with reverence, respect, and or friendship. High value in estimation. Great regard, favorable opinion. Like I told that guy, I was telling you the group last week, when they wanted me to say something about that nationally known minister who had done certain things in his church that they thought they only had half the story, but they were running their mouth off about it. And I said to him, you're not going to get me to disrespect and dishonor a man of God. And some of us need to stay away from Facebook, because you get into these conversations and these posts that say all kind of crazy stuff against the church or the people in the church. They always bring in bad things out. You need to get off Facebook. Amen. If you can't handle it without being involved in that poison and that toxicity, because the devil will use you to slander. That's what the word diabolos means. One of the words is the slanderer. He's called the slanderer. And if you want to do his work, you get involved in slandering. Amen. Amen. Instead of using our mouth to esteem, we're using our mouth to devalue and de-esteem. Praise the Lord. So honor walk includes receiving those God placed in your life, recognizing the gift of grace is in others, respecting and regarding those over you, around you, and trusting in your care, rejoicing, rewarding, and remunerating those to whom honor is due. Somebody say, praise the Lord. All right, next slide. Don't become disqualified. Now I'm closing with this one. Let's see where I'm at here. Okay. Now, God will bless you and honor you if you walk in integrity and love, and even if others don't. Just like we said about humility, you're in charge of your own humility department, and that's a department of one. But you're also in charge of your own honor walk and love walk. You got to choose to honor. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And you just like we said last week, whenever you take care of the ministry and the minister, God will take care of you. Because it's honor, it's principle. But some people wonder why am I always going through this? Look at where you dishonored or didn't show honor. Praise the Lord. All right, 1 Corinthians 4:1-2. So look at Apollos and me as servants of Christ who have been put in charge of explaining God's mystery. Now, a person who is put in charge as a manager must be faithful. Everybody say, I must be faithful. 1 Timothy 3:15, so if I'm delayed, that you will know how people must conduct themselves in the house of God. Household of God, this is the church of the living God, the pillar and the foundation of truth. Now, there's a story about a lady, if you read the book Assembled Together. Hopefully, everybody read that book by now. Let me pull it up here. And he talks about a lady who refused to develop and grow in the things of God. And every time the Holy Spirit was moving. Now, why do we ask people to pray? Why do we put people on the schedule to lead pre-service prayer? Everybody say it with me. It's an opportunity for me to develop and grow. We don't want to be in the next 20 years and I'm still leading prayer. Most of the prayer. God's, through the ministry gift that we stand in, Pastor Cynthia and I, pastors, and teach, we're raising and equipping other people to pray. Eventually, we want to have prayer groups that pray about different things every single day. Pray in that new building. Pray in the land. What does that mean? Becoming more skillful in prayer. But if you're 20 years in the deal, meaning the church, and you still coming looking to me to pray, something's wrong. There should be a development and a growth in your own prayer life because you've assumed prayer responsibilities. And you're easy to volunteer. Pastor 6:15, do you need somebody to pray? I got it in my heart to pray. And you step up and honor the church and honor the Lord and honor me by saying, I want to pray. We shouldn't be 20 years in the game and still backing off and shirking off and saying, wait, I don't. Not me. I'm not on schedule. Are you listening to me? We're a praying church, right? We have pre-service prayer. We pray for people. Sometimes I send out urgent prayer requests or texts, right? Y'all seen those, right? It's all to generate prayer. We do prayer every Sunday night, right? We put a priority and a premium on prayer. We even assigned this month, right? And it's still going on. We're contending for what? The harvest. Giving people what? An opportunity to develop and grow and saying, I'm going to believe God for certain people to come in to the church. People to come in the church. That's the harvest side. The supernatural is the seven U's, utterance, unity, unction, so forth and so on, right? Those things, you pray for the supernatural. And then we got praying for the spirit of praise and worship. That means those are opportunities, and it's just like you're like a hungry dog saying, I smell the meat. Let me have it, Pastor. Let me get after that one. We shouldn't have to beg, right? To pray. Christians praying is like oxygen, breathing. We should want to pray. We're already in the early voting elections. We should be praying about that. Pastor, I've got on my heart about this. I found this about this candidate. I'm not should be drumming up information and sending out information on candidates. Somebody should have a burden for the community. That when we're praying for the community, we're praying for the city. Come on, y'all. Y'all here with me tonight? That's honor. Stepping up, right? Developing and growing. So what does this lady do? The Spirit of God was moving because we're not just a word church. We're a Holy Spirit church. So we went back to the basics. January, February, taught about what? The helper. We gave everybody a book, right? The helper. What should we become more skillful with? Walking, filled, and influenced and led by the Holy Spirit. So that when you come to church, you're not just looking at Pastor Cynthia. Looking at me, the Holy Spirit's got something in you. Development and growth. Somebody said developing growth. Because the Holy Spirit's been using you privately, and now publicly, I'll step out. I will step up. Because I've been walking with the Holy Spirit all week. Praise the Lord. So this is chapter 13 or 12. And this lady was in that church. And every time the Holy Spirit moved, she put the brakes on. And it's a shame that, you know, if we've been here 10 plus years, it seems like a lot of wet blankets on Sunday morning when we praise and worship. Everybody's head down, hands down, looking at the screen. We got to grow farther than that, right? We should be already fired up because we've already done our own personal praise and worship in our own life. And then, you know, even if we don't know the song, we already into it anyway because our spirit's been buoyed up. Our spirit's been lifted up, and we're ready to praise the Lord as a corporate body. We're not staring at the screen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Is this okay? Y'all okay with this? And so we're talking about honor. So this lady put on the brakes, and she got put on the brakes. And then finally, what happens when you dishonor like that? Lack, limitation, and then languishing. You stop honoring and valuing the church. Start missing more services. Start getting out. You get detached. Always look for the dishonor. And this lady left, wrote the pastor a letter. We call it a Dear John letter or Dear Pastor letter. We can't come. And she went to a church that doesn't even hardly teach the word. It's one of those paper mache churches that's not teaching anything. Because if you're not getting corrected or directed, then you're really not being taught. Because everybody should be getting something. Every once in a while, you should go, ouch. Oh. Oh. Correction is good. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And then so she got kicked out, and she left out, and he was praying about her, and he said, the Lord said, let her go. But he used this word up here. She's disqualified herself on her place of feeding. Many have disqualified themselves from their place of feeding. What's your place of feeding? The church. Now, just like you eat at home, you make sure you got food, and we got the grandbabies, and we make sure they got stuff because they got to eat, right? Your church is where you're supposed to eat. And some people, what? Won't eat or eat just fast food. They on the internet all the time. They spend more time on the internet and Facebook and YouTube looking at other ministries than they do feeding on what's given here at the church. And God looks at the heart, because we always see it. People indulge in Christian television to a degree where that takes the place of the local church in their heart. Are y'all here with me? Y'all read the book, right? Did y'all see that in the book? You remember seeing that in the book? And so what happens? You could disqualify yourself because you're not hearing what the Spirit is saying to that church. When it says churches in Revelation 7 times, he's meaning the intention there is local church. That means I need to be have clear hearing of what's going on by the Spirit at my local church. That's what I need to be listening to. But if I'm a robotic Christian, I go home, cut the TV on ministry all the time, and I'm getting excited about that. When I'm eating from another table, I'm not eating where I'm to be fed and led. And that's not being stewards of the revelation we receive, because we refuse to walk in the radio light. So, typo here. It's possible for an entire church to disqualify, I don't know how that got in there, themselves from the pastor that God gave them by failing to care for, support, and receive that pastor or the ministry gift. We don't want what you want. We want other food. I want to go home and thank God for those Christian stations. Victory, TBN, whatever. Daystar, whoever's out there. Inspirational Network. Thank God for what they're doing and saying, but that's what not where your main source of feeding is supposed to be. Because pastors are feeders. Jeremiah 3:15. And I will give you shepherds according to my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding. And it says here in 1 Peter 5:1-2, the elders which are among you, I exhort you, who am an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God. So just think about it. If you do it at home, if you spend 4, 5, 6 hours preparing a meal and nobody shows up who you invited to come to eat that meal, how do you feel? Come on, y'all, you got quiet on me now. Praise the Lord. How do you feel? If many of y'all, some of y'all told me y'all had, you with family, I'm sure somebody made some food on Sunday. Am I right? We cooked some food on Sunday. I told the kids, I said, hey, y'all come on, get it. But at 5:30, y'all go home. We go, I mean, we at 6:30, we got prayer, right? Amen. Family shouldn't be running your life. God should be running your life. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Y'all had enough? Let's stand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll close it out. That's it. Praise God. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Miracles depend on honor. Praise God. We must be taught honor. How many want to be taught honor? You can stand to your feet. Stand. Go ahead and stand. Our place of growth, development, and feeding is the local church. Our stewardship and servanthood in our church will produce a lasting harvest and blessings and rewards. Praise God. So some of us have to stir ourselves up and not think, well, I'm just cooling off, backing off. I got more responsibilities. And I know the cycle of Satan. I call it the cycle of Satan, because once you come off a job, then the devil will try to consume more and more of your time, where God's things become trivial and light, and other things become so busy and burdensome. God's real big on the church. It's the body of Christ. And he wants us to be big on the church and honor the local church. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Is this good tonight? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to hear these and share these few words of truth and principle to these your precious people. We thank you, Father God, for the Word of God and the Spirit of God making a lasting impact and life transformation to all of us who hear and receive these truths. Thank you, Father God. Let us recognize our place of feeding and understand the responsibilities that are attached to our place, Triumphant Word Christian Center. And let's be good stewards of the mysteries of God that he's entrusted us with as a church, local church family, who we are in Christ. Faith, the authority of the believer, healing, praise God, prayer, the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, walking in victory, honor, love, hope, in the name of Jesus, all to the glory of God. So we thank you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity as we move forward in this year to step up and step out in bigger and better honor, all to the glory of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Help us to stir up honor in our hearts and in our lives, Holy Spirit. We give you permission to nudge us, to even nag us, to get us on point, walking in love and walking in honor. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Don't forget, next this Sunday, we're going to be talking about the final component of the gospel, which is Jesus Christ's ascension to his present-day ministry. Don't want to miss it. Again, honor the Lord by being intentional and receptive to invite somebody. That's another area of honor, right? If we're hearing the Holy Spirit say over and over again, bring somebody, invite somebody. Don't just blow it off. Amen. Be intentional about it. Don't invite people that's not going to commit to this church or don't belong to this church. Invite people who are lost and who are lonely, unsaved and unchurched. Amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. And so let's do that and be honorable to the Lord by saying we'll invite our one to come. Praise God. We thank for those that do invite and have invited and keep inviting. Amen. So God is good and gracious about that. So that'll be fourth Sunday. Remember, fourth Sunday is Missions and Ministry Sunday. So as we give our offerings and tithes, Sunday, bring your extra for missions and ministry. Praise God. So we can continue to grow and continue to sow toward our ministry and our mission and our building. And praise God. Somebody say, praise God. And a place of our own. So if you have your tithes and offerings, you can hold them up. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the privilege to bring our tithes, our offerings, our gifts of love. We thank you, Father God, according to the word of God, every need is met. We give because we love you. We love your church. We want to see Triumph Word Christian Center accomplish and fulfill all that you called us to accomplish and fulfill. We thank you, Father God, that you supply all of our need according to your riches and glory. So we claim every need met for every tither and giver, every bill, every big debt obligation that we need to take care of. Father, we claim it met and supplied in Jesus' name. And this day forward, we honor you with our offerings and our tithes from our heart. We love you, Lord, and we thank you in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you as you give. You can give. And as you give, if you need prayer, you can stand, come on up. And, of course, if you're here, be dismissed, and we can surely use your hand to help pack up and get going, because we got.